Now, the disciples cried out saying, increase our faith. And frankly, we could just stop there and have on record probably the shortest sermon this pulpit's ever seen. Because there's a lot in that that y'all could just take and go and talk about it, and that would be okay. Increase our faith. We won't, we'll go on. Winston Churchill was scheduled to give a most anticipated speech to a group of young boys at their school. The boys were urged by their teachers to listen, to remember every word that Churchill would say, because he was a national hero. He was a spellbinding speaker. In the end, after the prime minister had arrived and so eloquently introduced, he got up, he took his place behind the lectern, with all eyes gazing up at him, sternly fixed on him, waiting to remember the words that he was going to say. Churchill said 15 words. Young men, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never, 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 never. And then took a seat. 15 words. So I could just have a seat now, I think. I know you all want a little bit more, so we'll keep going. The disciples cried out saying, increase our faith. To which Jesus replies, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, also translated as a sycamore tree, to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, just as Winston Churchill, the great prime minister who led and inspired England through the dark days of the Second World War, called many youngsters never to give up, so Jesus is likewise saying to his disciples, never give up. Never give up. Never give up exercising all that the Lord your God has already given to you with all the charisms of the Spirit. He is saying to his beloved, you can. And you will do the seemingly impossible. Just as awe-inspiring as seeing someone uproot a sycamore tree and having it obey you. You see, Jesus had just finished teaching the disciples about forgiveness, as I talked to the children about a wee little bit. He said, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day, and turns to you 7 times, saying, I repent. You must forgive him. To which the disciples then cry out, increase our faith. Saying, how are we going to do this? Right? At Jesus' words, the disciples, and I think all of us might feel this way, most of us, were thinking about their past wrongs. When they had been wronged, when they had wronged someone else, when they had been forgiven, maybe when they had not been forgiven. Or remembering that time when they found themselves in a place where they felt that they could never forgive for the wrong that had been committed against them. And they say, increase our faith, Jesus. That's a hard call to forgive my neighbor 7 times. Because he was calling his disciples to go above and beyond anything else that they had ever heard or seen in anybody else. For the rabbis of the day had a saying. The rabbis said, any man who forgave another 3 times was a perfect man. And Jesus is here saying, oh, no, that's not enough. Let's double that. And not even double it, but 1 more, 7 times. Jesus once again raises the stakes and the expectations of those who call him Lord in what they are to do in his name. To do the seemingly impossible. It's as if Jesus is a multimillionaire. He just told his disciples to get out there to take care of that huge problem of hunger in the continent of Africa. And the disciples say, sure, Jesus, we'll get right on that. Just give us a couple million of your dollars and we'll go do it, right? Because they're looking up at Jesus saying, Jesus, you are the 5-star general of forgiveness. We are merely Lance corporals here. You forgive wholesale. We forgive on a retail level. Even with that, we're having difficulties. So help us. We need more of what you have. And Jesus is there, like Churchill, rooting them on, saying, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. You have faith enough. You have enough. You see, brothers and sisters, what the disciples need, what I need, what we all need, I believe, is not more faith, because it's not about quantity. We have what we need through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Where we often fall short is in quality. We often find ourselves making excuses. We may not be fully open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our own life. We may be trying to do it by our own strength, our own skills. We simply might not be walking enough with our Lord. All these things I've found in my life. Maybe you have too. Theologian Paul Tillich once said, faith means being grasped by the power of something else greater than we are. Faith is being grasped by a power that is greater than we are. But what do we often do, brothers and sisters? We want to be the ones grasping something else and having control over this situation, having control over this situation, having influence over here. We want to be the ones controlling. And so then we cry out for a greater increase of faith, of knowledge, of influence, of help, of money. If only we would learn to let go. That's where our faith strengthens in quality, apart from quantity. It's when we let go and let God. We let go and we let God move in his way. How many of us might say that sometime in our lives we had a slight confidence problem? Maybe when we were this size or this size. For me, it was this size. It was back in grammar school. I had some faith problems. I didn't think I could do what I was being asked to do. All right, my teacher would say to do something, and I would say, I can't do that. I just can't do it. And if she was there, she would say, never say you cannot do something. Who's ever heard that before? Never say you cannot do something. Because the moment we say we can't do something, it never will happen. However, if we approach a thing saying it must be done, then chances are it will. Especially if we are operating within the parameters of God's will. Because the truth is, beloved, we are not alone. We are not alone. As followers of the way, we need not approach any task on our own apart from the Lord our God. Yet how many times is it that we see that we are seeking God as an afterthought? All right, this happens, we deal with it, and then we should talk to God about this. Right? It's an afterthought. That's where we fail in the way of quality. In Christian Healing Ministries School for Mission, of which I've just began to be a part, attendees are taught that when we gather together to pray with people for healing, we are to listen to their story with one of our ears. We're listening to their story. Then with the other ear, we're to be listening to the very voice of God. Their motto is listen, love, and pray. Now, having one ear open to our situation in life, whatever it might be, and having another open, the other one open to God, really fits with all matters of life and touches us everywhere, because there is a God and Father of all who is active and alive in the lives of those who love him, whose power in Jesus' name resides within them through the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is hear his voice and know his will. We have the Spirit. It has been given to us. As baptized Christians, the fullness of God's Spirit lies within each and every one of us. Now, it could be that we personally have not fully asked or fully surrendered ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that that the Spirit would be unleashed within us. That's very possible and probable. If so, come talk to Father Joe, or myself, or the team of Order of St. Luke. We would love to pray with you. That's another sermon, though. We all can find ourselves in those places. Even your priest, standing up here. For a long, long time, that fullness of the Spirit was not found in my life until I was prayed over and laid hands on. After ordination, this is. All right? And it's still happening. So we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to be unleashed within our life. And once we have, it's a matter of exercising the charisms of God's Spirit through faithful obedience and never giving up. Never giving up. That is, letting go and letting God work. Walking in the will and purposes of what God is doing. We don't need an increase of faith. We do need to walk in his shoes, to walk with him, to live with him, to walk with open hands and waiting for God's direction, ministering to others and orienting ourselves in this life with the same fervor, the same zeal, the same authority that Jesus did. Therein being of the same quality. Remember, God heals, we do not. He loves to use us, though. He loves to use us. And all of the love, all of the joy, all of the peace and patience, all the kindness, all the goodness, all the faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which are the fruit of the Spirit, are exhibited when we live by the work of God in our life. So if you're thinking to yourself, I don't see much of that happening in my life, where's the Spirit? Again, we need to pray for that. We need to ask for that. We need to let that become unleashed in our life. And stop holding on to everything and instead let God take it. So brothers and sisters, let us jump on to that gravy train. Do what we're called to do as beloved children of God, exercising all that which is within us through the power of the Holy Spirit, never giving up. Let us let go and let God. Let go and let God move in the many ways he wants us to go, the way he wants us to live, the way he wants our life to look, the ways that he wants to use us each and every day. Let go and let God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.